this is Kendra Brodeen, founder and CEO of WomenLawyersOnline.com. And today I'm so excited to bring you a conversation with Michelle Lee Flores. Michelle is a shareholder in the Los Angeles office of Greenberg Traurig, LLP, and is a member of its Labor and Employment Department. Michelle focuses her practice on employment matters, including litigation and compliance and labor and business litigation. She serves as primary counsel in all aspects of litigation, including jury and bench trials, arbitration and mediation involving wrongful termination, employment discrimination, wage and hour claims, including class actions, unfair competition claims, defamation, fraud, and various general business disputes. Michelle, I'm delighted to have you on the call today.
Oh, thank you. I'm very excited to be here.
Well, thanks. Michelle, let's just jump right into the questions, and I'm really excited to hear your answers to these questions about work-life balance. And to start, I'd like to invite you to look back on your personal history, on your work history, your career, your legal practice, and or maybe your educational history as well, but also your personal life and just how you've handled things through college, through grad school, and again, in your personal life during your legal practice. I'm wondering if you feel like you've always been good at balancing work and life and the competing priorities in your life, or if it's something that changed at some sort of pivotal point in your life, or there was a critical time where you just decided things had to be different in the way that you were putting together your work and your life.
Well, actually, I've always practiced the concept of work hard, play hard. That does get exhausting at some points. And also, you know, to strive for a balance, I've always endeavored to do so. I think that it is work in and of itself. In college and in law school, there was not a lot of time for personal life, but I did try to have some balance. It's never been a completely even keel, if you will. But then starting a career and starting and practicing law, you know, it definitely was, there was a tremendous amount of pressure to do a lot of work. And, in the first couple of years of practicing law, you really, you know, they always say you don't really have a life. But I think that to endeavor to work at getting a little bit of something going is a good thing. Back when I started practicing, I could actually get away from the office when I left the office. With technology now, no one really gets away from the office, although on the other hand, technology allows you to get out of the building, allows you to be more flexible with where you can take a phone call or shoot an email. So, you know, it has its good and its bad. That allows to have a little bit more of a balance, I think, with some self-control. And what I mean by self-control is, you know, where and when checking emails or checking the phone messages or taking the phone call or what have you. You know, there's a lot of people, you know, that come in contact with me, and I'm always saying that I'm kind of always juggling what I'm doing, either family and or work, but it's a way to try to strike that balance. I try to seize opportunities to be with family or friends and then juggle work in. For example, if there was something where I needed to drive an hour, I might leave an hour and a half earlier and then make sure that I have 20, 30 minutes to be able to do something in the car. That's what I call juggling. But I get the work done nonetheless, and then I still have the opportunity to spend time with family or what have you.
That's a really creative way to think about juggling, even finding those little snippets of time and creating them where you might not have had them otherwise. Like you said, leaving early with the intention of creating a little space for yourself to get in 15, 20, 30 minutes of work or something else done that you wouldn't have had otherwise. That's a great idea of how to juggle.
Yeah, some people might think that that's maddening, but, it works for me, and it might work for other people.
Well, and I know that's a practice I even just in a personal way, too. If you have a doctor's appointment or you have some other kind of appointment or something scheduled, to even just keep something in your purse or your bag, you know, thank yous or something to do, like a little, because there are those snippets of time where you might find yourself with 15, 20 minutes where if you know, instead of reading a magazine, which sometimes is just a little bit of self-care where you want to check out for 15 minutes and read the latest gossip, but at the same time, you know, if you have something to do, a little task to do here or there, or just even a grocery list to make because you know you're going to go grocery shopping later, there's ways to use that, those little windows of time that are created in efficient ways that actually prevent some stress later on.
Exactly. I mean, time efficiency and utilizing moments when you can utilize them, I think, is one of the key things in really striking the balance. You can recoup a lot of time, you know, in 5-minute increments, 4-minute increments.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds crazy, but you really can.
No, it's true. And if you have a little pile or you just know that that's, you know, make a little list of things. Okay, when I have 5 minutes, these are things I can do, or dash off a card, or you know, who knows, birthdays, anniversaries, or things for work, even just returning an email or a phone call. And like you said, with technology, you can do so much of that, even mobily, some of it while you're driving, you know, in a safe way, of course. But if you have a headset or a Bluetooth or something that makes it that you can drive and talk, and I think if this, I don't know if that's allowed in every state, but most states I think you can still do that as long as your hand's free. It's a great opportunity if you've got some drive time to maybe return some of those calls.
Exactly. Yeah, I actually, yesterday, in fact, had a list going. I started a list that was the car list, and that was what I was going to do while I was in the car driving down. This is about an hour and a half drive. So it was my list of things to do once I was in the car, and then also once I lay, you know, once I ended where I was, if I had 10, 15 minutes, which I ended up having, then there were a couple things I needed to do as well.
Right, so. And it just takes that planning. Like you said, taking a few minutes to make a list, but now all of a sudden, instead of just wasting an hour and a half in the car, you just gained an hour and a half of work time or other time to get things done, where if you wouldn't have spent the 10 minutes making the list and maybe getting the phone numbers on a piece of paper or something, you would have just tuned out for an hour and a half and then had to do all of that, those tasks at another time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Exactly, yeah.
It's also another opportunity, I think, both for work and for personal life. Like, I have family out of town, grandparents out of town that I try and stay in touch with, never as good as I would like to be, but that road time can also be an opportunity to touch base with people and maintain relationships in a way that sometimes it falls off the radar screen. But when you know you have road time and you can say, okay, I'm going to call my cousin or my sister or somebody that you know is available at that time just to touch base, it can also be an opportunity to maintain relationships in a way that if you forget about it or if you're not intentional about it, you don't get a chance to do that. So there's a lot of different ways, things you can accomplish in that time.
Exactly. Grandpa was on the list yesterday.
Yep.
Yes, he was.
It is. And you know, people like that are just so tickled to hear from you. And when you can think, okay, I've got the road time, I'm going to call up my grandma. It can be a 10-minute conversation, but you know you just made their day, and it was 10 minutes of your time that you were in the car. You know, it's just a win-win when you can have the forethought to think, okay, this is something that I can accomplish during this road time, and it really makes you feel good because you're maintaining the important relationships in your life, and it makes the recipient feel good, too, because they just got a call out of the blue from you. They didn't
exactly
know you planned it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Michelle, Michelle, it sounds like you have a family at home.
Actually, I have more of an extended family
okay.
at home. Yeah, no.
Great. Well, you have people that you care about that you want to
exactly.
stay in touch with.
Exactly.
That's the important thing, is that we all, you know, whether we have spouses and children, or like you said, you have grandpas or sisters or whoever.
Nieces, nephews, godchildren, yes.
That's
definitely.
Right. That's right. Sometimes I'm thankful for my kids that they have an aunt who dotes on them.
Yes.
and can spoil them in the way that I can't.
Exactly.
Michelle, since you've looked back, and it sounds like you've always been pretty good actually at balancing with the work hard, play hard mantra, sort of thinking, I'm going to do my best in the office and do the best for my clients, and then I'm going to take that time and for myself and enjoy that and be as singularly focused on that as I can be. What would you say then, thinking back, has been the biggest challenge in trying to create that balance? What has been your biggest struggle or what you've come up against as you've tried to create an alignment or a juggle between who you are professionally and who you are personally?
You know, I really think the severely competing interests of generally the time it takes to that you have to commit to do something at a certain level, a certain personal level of satisfaction. And family and work generally are always competing in that regard. And so I would say that you know, though the concept of these two severely competing interests has really been the biggest challenge or struggle. You know, the more successful you are, for example, at work, the more, at least generally speaking, opportunities that you have to provide for your family. Generally, the more you're with your family, the less you're working. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you're not doing a good job, but the less you're working. And so it's really been that kind of trying to strike that balance of recognizing that if you put all your eggs in one basket, as they say, you may be very successful in one but not necessarily successful in the other. And with that in mind, constantly trying to feed both of those competing interests to come to a happy medium, really, to be able to say, you know, when to turn off the one and, you know, go to the other, whether it be turn off work, go home, be with the family, or, you know, recognize, yeah, I'd love to be able to do something more, for example, one night, but I really do have to get this brief done or something like that. And it needs to be at a level where it doesn't cause one undue stress. Because, you know, we all have personal bests and personal levels of what the work product should look like. And that does simply, you know, quite frankly, take time. So mm-hmm. I think that's really been, you know, recognizing that there's always a competing interest between those two things has really been my biggest challenge.
Like you said, there's only those 24 hours in each day, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And even if we can try to create a little bit more if we're multitasking while we're driving, we're still limited. And like you said, there's times where you're at work and that is time away from the family. However you look at it, there's, you know, you can only slice the pie so thin. And so trying to be mindful of what that balance is, you know, is it 50-50, is it 60-40, whatever it looks like. Mm-hmm. As you said, there's those strongly competing interests to try to balance. So I certainly understand what you're saying in terms of that struggle. I'm wondering on the flip side of it, and maybe it goes along with your answer to that, what would you say has been your biggest lesson or teaching about how to do the balance and create a balance and an alignment between those two competing interests?
I would say recognizing when you get involved in one aspect of your life or another, that if you focus too much on one, the other will suffer. It really will. And then trying to stop myself when, for example, say there's a, you know, big trial or we have a big motion, a motion for summary judgment, or there's some, several depositions back to back. Recognizing that when that comes up, okay, you can devote and you will be devoting substantial time to work and you will not really be at home. You will not really be able to do perhaps some of the, you know, maybe go to a birthday party because it's, you know, you have travel time in there and it's just too much of a block of time in that critical time period. But recognizing that even when you're in that time of severe work mode, that when you see where it's going to end, for example, the last deposition and the next day, you actually end up allotting and calendaring time for family to kind of, I guess, make up for it. It sounds kind of trite to say to make up for it, but to recognize that you've been unable to participate in certain things, and it does. It helps me anyway. You know, you kind of regenerate, you kind of re-energize, and it feels good. So it helps, and it will end up helping later on the work life end of it. But to be able to really be able to recognize when you're in the thick of a work mode, okay, you still want to think about it and calendar it. And then commit to it and not, you know, reschedule something that would allow you to, continue to strike a balance, maybe not necessarily in a day-to-day or a week-to-week, but take it on a bigger increment, a month-to-month. Say you have a really heavy month at work, then do something and calendar something or plan something that allows you to, you know, kind of try to balance that out a little more on a month-to-month or a quarter basis or what have you. You know, because I think to micromanage it on a day-to-day basis just is not flexible enough in light of what demands are put on lawyers these days.
And so many times the day-to-day, it's like you said, it's not possible on a day-to-day basis usually to say, okay, look, my sort of imaginary scales of work and life here are completely balanced, and I spent 6.5 hours doing this and 6.5 hours doing that, and you know, or something like that. There's never that kind of perfect balance. But sometimes I like to think about weather versus climate change. You know, there's sort of the weather of the day, and then they say, well, say global warming, and then there's climate change. And that's when you look at it over a year or over 2 years or over a decade. Does it come out balanced? And in the end, that's kind of what matters, because, like you said, you might be a week or 2 weeks in an incredibly intense case or something that you're working really hard on, but then if you can schedule something later to make up for it, and hopefully firms understand that you can't just burn all the time and not find some time to recuperate from that kind of intense burst, and as you said, schedule it in and stick to it and not feel guilty about it, because that's what's going to keep you from burning out, is creating that balance.
Exactly. No, that's exactly it. I mean, you know, as far as and you don't necessarily have to disclose to somebody that you're taking the weekend off. You know, I mean, you know, you're still going to, in modern age, you're still going to have your BlackBerry. Most people carry a BlackBerry. I think I know two people that don't. I don't know how they do it, but they don't. But other than that, I mean, you're still going to address certain things, but you just may not do it so quickly, or you may not have the same, you know, you may not necessarily go into the office. And so, you know, really being able to, in your mind, if nothing else, commit to, you know, time away from the office to, you know, re-energize and to spend time with family and to be able to have, you know, those imaginary scales tip back a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. They might be a little bit out of whack for a few days or a couple
mm-hmm.
weeks, but
yeah.
In the big scheme of things, you know, and you don't want to go for weeks and weeks and weeks on end, but making that promise to yourself to rebalance and to create that balance again, and like you said, pull those scales back in, and also not feeling guilty, you know, not feeling guilty about taking a weekend or taking time that legitimately you deserve. I mean, we're not contracted to work 24/7 every day of the, you know, every day, all day. If we say we're unplugging for the weekend, hopefully folks will respect that, because they really, in this day and age, I think people are starting to understand that you need your weekend, and maybe they can't expect, if they email you on a Saturday, it's not really reasonable to expect a response on Saturday night or Sunday morning or something, that those are sacred days of rejuvenation and recharging to whatever extent is possible. It's not always 100% possible, but the more we can set strong boundaries and say, I'm going to really not be accessible during this time. It's not to say you might not put in a couple hours here or there where it makes sense and catch up on some things because it feels right to you, but I don't know that we should feel too guilty for saying, I'm going to take my weekend. That's mine, and you can't really expect too much of a response from me. And again, there might be times where that's not practicable, but I would hope that most of the time it's fair to tell others that that's my time set aside for myself and my family and my loved ones.
Yeah, I don't know if one can be so frank with the person that you're saying that's my time. Not in the legal community as I understand it now. Even years ago, there's a certain sense of, quite frankly, you know, if with the job comes certain understandings of availability, and that sometimes is 24/7. So, and I think you recognize that. I think that if it earlier on in one's career, there's less ability to be so frank with mm-hmm. others about what you intend on doing necessarily. I think also with technology, there is a sense of being available. Now, whether you are able to have the ability to respond in a way that touches them and says, I'm here, got it, can't address it right now, but I'm on it, we'll deal with this, you know, first thing Monday morning or something like that, if it's really something that isn't actually necessary to be responded to. With now with technology, I think the demands of clients, not even so much your, you know, your management at your firm, but client demands are fairly unreasonable. I shouldn't say unreasonable. They're pretty strong and oftentimes feel unreasonable, but, you know, if they're in an emergency mode, they're in an emergency mode. Some
right.
clients, frankly, think they're in emergency mode and they're not, but they need to feel and know that you're there for them, and then you are able, you know, you could take 5 minutes and say, okay, this is what the plan's going to be, and we're going to deal with this on Monday. That in and of itself is helpful. So even if it's 5 minutes on a weekend, then it's better than, you know, 2 hours on a weekend. But really, I think that there's a lot of times where I would say not to be so open, perhaps, on your intentions of what to do on a weekend or how you're looking at it is probably, you know, you generally might be better served at least earlier on in one's career, I think.
Exactly.
Are you there?
Uh-huh.
I need to edit that out. I totally just dropped my phone.
Okay.
But anyway, I think that it's certainly true that early in one's career, there's a difference between what you might say and what you might let folks know about what your intentions are. And maybe it's just an intention you set for yourself more than anything, that this is time that I'm trying to set aside. And as you said, if it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes, just to let somebody know that, maybe put out the fire or just let them know, okay, this feels like an emergency to you, but it's okay. It's something that I will get on as soon as is practicable, and it really will be fine if we take care of this on Monday or whatever, just to let them know and let them breathe a sigh of relief if something comes up. Certainly that's good client service. At the same time, I think, as you mentioned earlier, there is that temptation sometimes when we're constantly connected to be constantly connected and constantly checking in and diverting time from those we love and those we're trying to spend time with and be present for, when we really maybe don't even need to. Maybe all it requires is that 5 minutes. It doesn't require a 2-hour phone conversation, but sometimes we over-respond when things could just as easily wait till Monday. So
mm-hmm.
wherever that balance is of making your clients and letting feel valued and feel responded to, but also feel that, you know, you're on top of it, everything's okay, and if it's an emergency, sure, take care of it, but if it can wait, letting them know that it can wait until Monday. So point well taken, though. Again, you certainly need to be responsive to your clients and their expectations at the same time without letting it steamroll your personal time and your personal life.
Exactly. I think it's a dance that takes
yeah.
practice.
I think so. And probably feels it's different with every dance partner.
Exactly. Some are better than others.
That's
some are
right.
really bad.
Some
yes,
clients,
yes.
exactly, are very gracious.
Yes.
And
yes.
never step
others
on your toes.
Too left feet. Yeah.
That's
exactly.
right.
Exactly.
Some really want to lead. So, yeah, I think it does just depend on who you're dealing with. And some clients probably, you know, might even say, yes, I certainly understand that balance is important for our employees, too, or for our firm, or whatever that feels like. So getting a sense, and as you said, sometimes it just takes time to get a sense of the client and what their expectations are. Some clients might not even expect you to respond till Monday morning. Some expect you to respond in 30 seconds. So just starting to know what they expect is probably key so that they feel well-served.
Exactly.
Michelle, what would you say then, sort of moving along from the biggest lesson that you talked about and what you've learned and thinking about, you know, focusing on one versus the other and trying to create some sort of balance, even if it's over an extended period of time, an overall sense of balance, what might be some more practical or tactical things that you've used or strategies that you've employed to create some sort of balance, things that might be easily implementable as ways of doing things that have just made your life a little bit easier and made the balance easier to find.
Okay. Well, I think we've kind of talked about them today, but to put them more succinctly, I would say the concept of calendaring appointments, quote-unquote, with family, just as you would with clients. It may seem impersonal, unnecessary, you know, and we all know family is more important than any client. So, you know, we really should treat them just as importantly, if not more importantly. And if in one's career that means calendaring and committing to an appointment, quote-unquote appointment, and then making sure to follow through with that, then it is really, you know, if you can wrap your head around the concept of calendaring for family, it's blocking out time and making a commitment. You know, maybe you don't like the term appointment, but you calendar it out on your calendar and you say leave work, and then you're, you know, a personal calendar item. You can do private on Outlook these days. You have a button that you can hit, and it can be private, and nobody sees what exactly you're doing, but you're out of the office. And you know that, you know, then you, if your assistant is looking at your calendar and trying to, you know, implement some kind of appointment for you with somebody, they'll see it blocked out. So then you won't get double booked. That's really kind of been one of the things that has been very, very helpful for me. I had a professor my first year in law school mention this in passing in the very beginning of law school, and I thought that that was the worst thing I'd ever heard, is making appointments for family. I just thought it was it was so offensive to me at the time, and now here I am touting it. So, but it's definitely worked for me. It's absolutely worked for me, and you know, and it's really being able to make sure that you put everything in your power, you know, to have that time and not cancel or reschedule. Now, there may be a time once in a while where you might have to reschedule it, just like you would for a client or what have you, but generally speaking, you know, you've got it on your calendar, it's there, and it's going to happen. So, you know, you're able to make that be consistent and be committed to that particular event. The second thing, I think, that I have really found to be of use in trying to strike a balance with family and work life is to be flexible. The when and where you do your work and the when and where you make time for your family. You know, it may be that you can go to someone's birthday party, but you can't stay afterwards and chat for, you know, 2-3 hours, you know, and make the whole day of it. You may have to say, I can do 4 hours that day, and, you know, but 4 hours that day is better than no hours that day. And then it might be that you go early, do some work, or, you know, wake up earlier that day, get some work done, then get in the car and go to whatever the particular event is. So I think the flexibility of where and when work is done and where and when you get time in, you get to sneak a little time in with family, either sneak it in or, you know, big times. And then I think the third thing for me, anyway, is what I found, is using discretion. And we kind of talked about it with when I was saying how, you know, maybe you can't be as frank as you would like to about the weekends and wanting to escape and not respond or what have you. Really, you know, earlier on in my career, I kept some details to myself. If my family friend event was a concert or a dinner party with friends, as opposed to got to get home and put the baby to bed, I would use less detail in describing that I had a family commitment. You know, they're just as important. In my world, they were just as important as, you know, a child soccer game or a Laker game with a client or what have you. But many colleagues, it was my opinion, would pass judgment on the differing priorities that one person would give to, for example, a concert versus, you know, a child's holiday play or something like that. And with that in mind, I felt that it would serve me better to use more discretion in disclosing details of what my family commitments were. You know, because I didn't want people to make some opinion about what I thought was family. You know, early on, it was, yeah, I may not have, you know, a spouse at home, but I'd like to have some time to try and find one, you know. So it's one of those things. It's
right.
You know, if they're just as important. If they're important to you, if your family is perhaps a non-traditional one, if you will, and what I mean by that is, you know, maybe you don't have a baby at home, but you and your spouse are wanting to go on, you know, a weekend or something like that. You know, some people, there's just these opinions that people have consciously, subconsciously, I don't know. So I just have found, I don't even want to go there. I just use discretion so that I can achieve my unique, I think, somewhat unique balance in life and work, because it's not necessarily, you know, I've got to get them this morning to, you know, to preschool. However, I do, you know, need to get my dog to the vet. And I'm not going to say I'm going to get my dog to the vet, but I'm going to say I have an appointment this morning, you know, something like that. So I would say those are probably the top three, you know, calendaring appointments, being flexible, and then using some discretion on so that you can achieve what you want to achieve.
Exactly. Just being mindful of what you're telling others and what feels good to you. And as you said, sometimes it doesn't feel as good to tell them what you're doing, and maybe some people don't understand exactly, and you don't really want to open that door, nor should you feel that you have to. Especially like you said, your family situation is maybe different from theirs or what they typically run into, and yet it's yours, and it's your priority, and it doesn't make it any less important. It's just different. And
correct.
So being able to just define it and describe it in a way that makes sense to you is fair, and that's all they need to know about it. So having that discretion, if you choose to allow yourself the space and the time to do what matters to you and to really live your priorities.
No, absolutely. You know, I was just, you know, there was a time recently when my boyfriend and I were, you know, going to be off for a weekend, and I did not give the details of it because I just thought, you know, you just don't know. Even now, I mean, as senior as I am now, there's just some things you just, you know, they don't really need to know that information. But a family, you know, to be able to say family commitment without any other details is okay. Because it was.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it absolutely was.
Right, that's all somebody needs to know, is that it's a family. And I think even just hearing that, people respect that, especially nowadays. They respect that generally people want to have some sort of family, be that extended or, you know, even friends and family or things that are important to us. We get to decide our own priorities, and even just saying a family commitment, that's plenty. And no one really needs to know more than that unless you choose to elaborate.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I love what you suggested, and I chuckled when you said you had heard it from a law school professor and sort of scoffed it. And I think you said it was a him saying to schedule in those appointments with friends and family just as you would with clients, and yet you found it then to be something that actually is valuable. And I could see where it would feel strange and a bit calloused to hear it at the beginning before we really entered the real world of legal practice, but it makes so much sense. It's wise to just block that time just like you would, and also to block it for yourself. Sometimes we need to schedule time for ourselves to exercise or to take some time for self-care. And I know for myself and a lot of women I've talked to, we easily push ourselves to the bottom of that list and break that commitment with ourselves quicker than we would with anybody else. But if we can really try to stick to it and pencil those priorities in, which include our family, include our physical health, include time for other things that are important to us, and not cancel those things, really treat them with the kind of respect we would treat a client appointment, we can create more of that balance, because we truly are respecting the time and the priority that we're putting on others and putting on ourselves.
Exactly. I mean, I was joking, and it was only a half a joke, for quite a while, about a year ago, saying, okay, this year is going to be the year where I treat myself as well as I treat my clients.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a half joke, and, you know, I'm striving. Every day is another opportunity to be successful in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
And some days I'm not that successful in it, because it is. It's easy to set aside yourself and us being at that bottom of the list, everybody else above, including family and what have you, and us being at the bottom of the list because you're willing to forego something perhaps you want, working out or a massage or something like that, to make sure that something else gets taken care of. But it really is work to try and make sure that it's okay to do it once in a while, but not to have it consistent, because you really, you know, it has helped for me to try and think of myself as my own client,
mm-hmm.
and then to try and see if I can endeavor to be even half as good to myself as I am to
right.
a client. That's still a pretty good treatment. So,
well, and that's exactly it. We think about how much we go out of our way for our clients, certainly, or even for our family members,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, for people that we care about, and we bend over backwards for them, and yet, you know, we barely find time to give ourselves that massage, or even that time to work out, or the time to even cook a meal that's healthier for us instead of grabbing junk on the run. You know, but we treat everyone else with such respect and such priority. So reminding ourselves, and I love how you said it, that, you know, it's like you said it sort of as a joke, but it's so true. If we can treat ourselves with the same kind of care and respect that we treat others and certainly our clients, or even come close, we'd be doing a pretty good service for ourselves.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And for our family, too, to feel like we're not treating our clients that much better than our family, or the people that we work with, or our colleagues better than we treat our family, because they know, too. I think they can look in from the outside and see that we're bending over backwards for our clients, and yet when we don't bend over backwards for them, they start to feel like second-class citizens as well. So it's those competing priorities. It can be tricky, but trying to remember how people feel and how they perceive what we're doing and how we're acting and what that says about where they are on our priority list.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely.
Michelle, before we wrap up, I'm just wondering if there's anything else you'd like to share. You know, if there was another woman attorney sitting there with you and you were trying to impart some of the things that you've learned or the wisdom that you have based on your experience, is there anything else you'd like to share with her?
Oh, goodness. You know, I would say probably there's always a thought that comes to mind. The best question or statement comes to mind in the car on the way home after the court appearance.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't really think of anything right now, but I certainly know that sometimes things come up, and I'm happy to be available, you know, quite frankly, to anybody. You know, again, technology, the internet, love it and hate it at the same time. You know, I'm available. If you go on gtlaw.com
mm-hmm.
and just put my name, Michelle E. Flores, it'll come up. I'm happy to be available to anybody if there's ever anything that comes up that if they wish to ask me a question. You know, I think maybe the one thing that I could share is just, you know, it's okay that whatever your unique or not maybe so unique desires are for family and for friends, that's okay. It doesn't necessarily have to be the traditional stuff. You know, I always say, if someone says, oh, I have to take so-and-so to, you know, I have a, you know, like a school open house, you know, that's kind of like this get-out-of-jail-free card.
Mm-hmm.
Open house? Oh, okay, go, or whatever it is. You know, there's some get-out-of-jail-free cards, I think, in work that some people may not have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to make your own get-out-of-jail-free card for work, because if you don't have those get-out-of-jail-free cards, you're probably endeavoring to get in a situation where you might have those get-out-of-jail-free cards at your disposal. So, you know, if you're not yet where other people are in their life or in their, you know, personal relationships, but you have very important personal relationships nonetheless, that's okay too. You know, it's not just because you're the, you know, which has been the case before with me. I was the one, generally speaking, the one without the kids.
Right.
And at a certain time, there were, say there's a variety of people, and it was like, oh, kid. Oh, okay, so, you know, not it. I'm the goose.
Mm.
You know, and then, okay. All righty then. You know, it's okay if you don't have that, and it's still okay for you to be the one that gets to say, you know what, I've got a commitment. I've got to go.
Right.
It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So there you
and
go.
And that's great, because I think there are a lot of women, you know, who maybe have a spouse or a partner or kids or things like that, and they do
where firms are starting to respect that or starting to understand that. But, you know, for women like you who maybe that's something that'll happen in the future, if that's what you desire, but right now that's not your life situation, and yet that's not to say that you don't want to have a life, that you don't have other priorities, or it's your family, but it's your extended family, or it's different parts of your family, or your friends, or other people you're really close with, and to not take yourself any less seriously or allow anyone else to take your priorities or your personal commitments any less seriously just because they look different. I think that's so important, and that we not judge each other as women based on what those priorities look like. They just are different people in different relationships, but that doesn't make them any less important.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, Michelle, thank you for sharing your website as well and inviting others to contact you through that. Again, it's gtlaw.com. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And Michelle's information is on there, and I appreciate your gracious invitation to others to connect and to get to know you better. And I just appreciate your time so much today, Michelle. Thank you for your words of wisdom and for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
It was great to get to know you and to hear from you and your perspective. I'm very grateful. Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem. It was great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, with that, we'll close out our conversation with Michelle. I thank her for being here, and I also thank you for being here as well. Anyone who's listening or reading these words, I trust and hope that you have found something in Michelle's perspective and her experience that's meaningful to you, that you can utilize and use in your own life or use to understand the lives of other folks around you, so that together we can create legal practices and lives that we enjoy and that we experience the kind of balance that we desire. So until next time, this is Kendra Brodine of WomenLawyersOnline.com wishing you real success always and in all ways. Thank you so much for being here. Bye-bye.